When we think of words, titles to describe Jesus, there's probably a fairly common short list that would come up quickly. Probably Messiah would be one that would quickly come to mind, and Savior, the Savior of the world, our personal Savior. Another, I think, description that would be one of the early ones that we would come up with. We might come to the idea of Jesus as Son of God and talk about Jesus in that way. It is possible that one of the early choices we might have, if we said, tell me a description, a title, a name for Jesus, we might say Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd is one that is prominent in Scripture, and one which is a beloved image. We would probably not take terribly long until we got to King. King is one of the long time, one of the early ways that the Christian community thought of who Christ was and how they understood Christ and his work. But this being Christ the King Sunday, this being the final day of the Christian year, it is that moment where we are pointed in the direction of thinking about Jesus as King and what it means that Jesus is King. And we will move from here into the new year next week. And again, we'll begin to celebrate Advent, and we'll begin to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christmas. But this year, this day, as we're not moving on to that just yet, as we're having this particular year in the church come to a close, it is a time to again assert with confidence that in spite of what may be happening at any point in the world, whether you think the greatest things ever are happening right now in the world, or whether you think that we are in a particularly troubled time, whichever way you look at the world at this present moment, the reality is that Christ is King, however you see it. And however things are in our individual lives, however, if you would say this has been like the best time of my life, or this is one of the more challenging times of my life, or it's somewhere in between, today comes as a reminder that however it is, however you're experiencing your life at this time, that Christ remains and is King. There are really two Sundays in the church year that kind of intensify our gaze at Christ as King. And as you think about it, the other one may come to mind easily. But these two Sundays, and I'll tell you the other besides today in just a moment if it hasn't come to you, but these two Sundays are both really helpful, not only because we talk about Christ as King on those days, but because of what comes almost immediately after them. And so that'll become evident as I describe them to you. But the important thing is to see that in each instance, in both instances, the moment we begin to talk about Christ as King, something comes along in our church calendar that reminds us that when we talk about Christ as King, we really have to think closely about what we mean. That we can't use our usual way of thinking about King and our usual definitions. That this is not another king in a line of kings. This is not a king as we come to know the way an earthly king exercises power. This king is different. So the first Sunday, where we really focus on Christ as King, would be Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday has this emphasis where Jesus goes into Jerusalem and the people receive him with the waving of palm branches, which typically is kind of a symbolic way of saying they received him with a greeting that they would reserve for a king. And what do they say to him when he comes in? They say, Hosanna to the son of David. Who's David? Well, David is only the greatest king that Israel ever knew, and had done nothing but become more powerful and a stronger image of what king was over the years as he'd receded further and further into the past and reality, but grown larger and larger over time. And so they were always looking for the next King David. And so as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, they're saying, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus, on that Palm Sunday, is welcomed as king. The people have an expectation of what that's going to be. And by the end of that week, their hopes have been dashed. By the end of the week, the expectation they had that Jesus was coming to them as this powerful, earthly, military leader king are gone. And instead, the one who they welcomed as king has been mocked, arrested, beaten, and crucified. The second Sunday, of course, is today, Christ the King Sunday. On Christ the King Sunday, the thing that challenges or changes the way you may think about king a little bit is, if on Palm Sunday the next thing that happens is the king is crucified, on Christ the King Sunday, the very next Sunday that comes along, we are going to begin to be thinking about that king not as a mighty adult ruler, but preparing our hearts, preparing ourselves for one who would come to us as the most vulnerable of the vulnerable. Not just a child, not just a baby, but not a baby in a royal setting. This baby is going to come to people who aren't even at their homes and is going to be born to them basically in a barn. And the attendants for this child who would be royalty will first and immediately be shepherds. Shepherds brought in for this purpose to bear witness and to tell what they have found and what they have seen. So you begin to see the way this works. Jesus is king, but Jesus is the kind of king where we have to pay close attention to what the Bible says about who he is so that we can understand what king is. The ideas we import in from every other king who's ever lived, every other earthly king, don't work here. Luke passage this morning is the one that comes right on the heels of the Palm Sunday passage. So this is what happens next. Under a sign that says, King of the Jews, Jesus is dying on a cross. So the king crucified on a cross, and there's a sign saying, King of the Jews. And as the day drags on, we're told that he's surrounded by two thieves, one on the left, one on the right. One of them says this to him, Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. He doesn't really think that's going to happen. It is one last act of mockery from this thief on the cross next to him. When this thief looks at Jesus, what he sees is somebody who's in the same boat that he is. Somebody who is as hopeless as he is. Someone who's about to die in the same way that he is. And so in one last little bit of spite and anger and hopelessness at the situation, he says, If you're the Messiah, why don't you just get us down from here? It is easy to see the way in which that thief would look at the situation, and that's what he would see. The question is the other thief. What on earth is he looking at? What does he see? Because the circumstance he's looking at is exactly the same circumstance as the first thief. But somehow he looks at that, and what he sees is a king. And he says this to him. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If you were to take a survey of the crowd there that day, I think they would say the first one seems less hallucinogenic or less like he's having a hallucination than the second one was, so that it would seem much more likely to them that this guy who says that the things are hopeless and all is lost has a lot more going on in terms of perceiving reality than the one who's looking at their situation and saying, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. Paul in Colossians gives us a window into what happened there, into what the difference in perception is. Paul writes this. He says, Christ rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He set us free through the Son, and forgave our sins. I want you to focus on two words: rescued and transferred. Paul says that Christ rescues and transfers us. And I would suggest that those words might bring to mind another biblical event, a much earlier biblical event, one of the shaping biblical events of the Old Testament, the Exodus. The Exodus. You could use those two words and you would describe what happens at the Exodus. The people of Israel were rescued from slavery in Egypt, and they were transferred from slavery in Egypt by God, through the leadership of Moses, into a new place, a land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land. That's the kind of king Jesus is. Jesus rescues people from a world of darkness and transfers us to his kingdom. We literally see this and hear this played out on the cross. It's right there on the cross, right there on a Roman cross, right there underneath a sign intended to mock him that says he's a king. Jesus actually acts like the king that he is, and he welcomes the thief next to him into his kingdom. So what? There always has to be a so what. Otherwise, these are just old stories. There has to be a so what. What does that mean for us today? And the so what for us today, this one is easy. This one is obvious what the so what is for us. All throughout history, since the time of Christ, so from the time of Christ forward, there have been people who have thought, for sure, they must live in the end times. The times they live in are worse than any other time, and there could be no worse time yet to come. And so all throughout the history, from then until now, there have been people who thought, this must be it. This must be the end of time. They said it with confidence, they said it with assuredness, and yet here we continue to be. First, I want to say two things. One I want to say is that the Bible says in several places that we should not be trying to figure that out. So whether or not this is the worst time ever, at whatever point in time, the Bible says don't waste a bunch of time trying to figure out if it's the end time. Leave that to God and live as though this is your last day, whatever day it is. Make this day count. Make every day count. Live as though Christ's return is always imminent. Like Christ is always going to show up. And then second, we still have lots of this is the worst time now, folks, now. It would not be hard to find people who would say, right now, this is it. This is the end times. This is the worst time. It's never been worse than now. But let me ask you this. The Son of God, the Son of God was arrested and beaten and humiliated and mocked and forced to carry the instrument of his execution to a hill called the Skull, where he was put on that cross with nails and where he died, while soldiers gambled for his clothes and while people made even more fun of him and asked him to save himself. It can't get worse than that. I can't imagine what's worse than that. And yet, in the midst of all that historically awful awfulness, in the midst of what I think you could argue has to be the low point of human history, a thief looked over at Jesus, and what he saw was not a hopeless, humiliated, dying man. What he looked over on the cross next to him and saw was a king. He saw a king. And that king spoke words that rescued that man and transferred him to his kingdom. Not in some far off future time, but the change of perception was already taking place. He was transferring him right then. How else do you explain looking at a dying man hanging on a cross and instead recognizing you're next to a king? Because Christ is king, we look to Jesus and we see that what might appear to be the worst of moments, what might be seem, if we looked around and said, describe what's going on out in the world, we might say, well, it is one huge hot mess. We can look at that, and instead of being despairing, we can be hopeful, because what we can say is that what we actually see, because Christ says it's out there, is the coming of the kingdom of God. And we can catch glimpses of it if we look for it in acts of kindness, in acts of compassion, in acts of love, in acts of caring. Christ the King changes things. I want to be clear on the tense I'm using there. Christ the King changes things. Not will change sometime down the road, but changes things now. Brings light into darkness. Brings hope into despair. Fundamentally and forever brings life into death. Not some other time, not at some anticipated future date. Jesus changes things now. So in a few minutes we will unpack the items that help us to celebrate the new year. We will begin the cycle again. We'll decorate the church for the season of Advent, the season that reminds us of the one who came and will come again, which basically is the point. That is it. The one who is coming has come. Jesus has come, and in what was one of the worst moments, one thief saw what was actually the greatest moment of all history. And Christ gave his life for us. The King had come. The King had come and had made it possible for us to be rescued, had made it possible for us to be transferred from light to darkness, from whatever the difficulties of this moment are, into the kingdom that is coming and has come. On this last Sunday of this church year, I will say for one final time for this year, thanks be to God. And thanks be to God who came to us as Christ our Savior, Messiah, and King. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.